The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
You're very welcome back to the programme. Great to have you on board. Garda Claire Rafferty is going to be joining me in the not too distant future for the very latest appeals and information from On Garda Síochána Síochána, where you can listen and watch them live here first on the 9 till noon show. Hi, Greg. Can I ask about blood prices at doctor's surgeries? In the past 5 weeks, I paid 40 by 3, 25 by 1, 60 by 3 to get bloods taken, and 3 doctor's appointments also, €25 to get a prescription. I wrote, maybe I'm wrong, but it's not worth working. When you're sick, that's not counting the chemist fees for medication. At €80, that comes in from Lily there. That's a lot of money, Lily, isn't it? And I think there is some confusion about whether, you know, bloods are for diagnostic reasons or otherwise, as to whether or not, for example, they might be covered by a medical card. Hi, news team. Let's see how open Greg is to Drew Howes's comments on Gripped about recruitment of Gardaí in the IPAS centres. Will he not mention it or just sweep it under the carpet? RTÉ did not cover it as expected. Didn't see it, to be honest. I can't sweep anything under the carpet if I don't see it. But I presume they were. This was off the back of a story that Gardaí were recruiting at IPAS centres. I think, if I'm not mistaken, because I did actually read it somewhere else, if I'm not mistaken, I think Drew Harris said that wasn't happening, and then he was re-advised by his press officer that it actually may well be happening. I'll have to look at a bit more deeper into that. I do consume an awful lot of news, but I don't get everything. Let me tell you, by the way, there ain't no conspiracy. I'm not involved in any conspiracy where I don't do stuff or brush it under the carpet. If you want to direct it at RTÉ, that's perfectly fine, but that's not how I roll, and anyone who knows me knows it's not how I roll either. And I'll be honest with you too, if you want to talk about who picks up on who, there's been an awful lot of content from this show that's actually appeared on Gripped. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, or it doesn't matter at all, but that's the fact. So if you are a Gripped subscriber, you'll often see comments from Highland Radio or video clips from this program that seem to appear on their website. Ask yourself that. We get quoted on all media, be it Gripped, RTÉ, News Talk, wherever it might be. We do get quoted on that because we might be a local station in the local area, but we actually produce... we produce national news as well here. There are a lot of very caring people around, says a listener. A gentleman stopped with me in hospital car park. I just couldn't find my car keys, but I had opened the car, so they had to be somewhere. But I appreciated his concern for me very much. Thank you again if you are listening. Well done. And, you know, maybe this is an opportunity. It was, I think, really great remarks from Osh Bosh, just to make sure that we don't lose, you know, who we are. But also, if something nice happened to you, or if you want to thank someone for helping you out, please get in touch with us and let us, you know, it's a real great way to thank them for us to read it out here on the show. So if you're that gentleman that stopped with this person because they couldn't find their car keys, you made a difference to them. Well done. Greg, why don't... Is that the same book again? Let me just see. Yeah, it is. Okay, another guy saying, why don't you cover Gripped news? The water cannons are for us. When hate speech laws, triple lock up passed, this has been in motion for a long time. Highland can't say they haven't been told and claim to be innocent, and our station is free speech. You talk at both sides. Yes, exactly. We talk at both sides, Brendan. Thanks very much indeed for recognising that. Every time you have a question on, questions are pre-done or pre-recorded. Nonsense, rubbish. My word, that's the thing I hate. Let me see. There was the Minister for... Just to run that past, the Minister for Housing was up recently, and do you know, there was a time whereby ministers weren't able to come on because they say, you know, it doesn't match our schedule, and I understand that, but I thought, you know what, well, let find a slot in your schedule. So in my own time, I drove up to Lifford to do the interview with the housing minister and get some important questions on the record as it relates to the concerns of people with defective concrete block, the lack of a publication of the planning report. You know, and I don't, there's no questions off the table. And when ministers don't like your questions, sometimes they stop doing interviews with you. That's fine. But that's not because they weren't asked questions. That's because they were asked questions. Greg, I'm reading on page 7 of the paper, over €14,000 was spent on sending councillors from Donegal to America for St. Patrick's Day. What is worse is taxi costs and other expenses have to be added to it. The gravy trains continues, no sign of it derailing, yet we in Buncrana are still waiting on a leisure centre despite it being a priority. It still sits empty. The one thing now about, and the cost used to be much higher, the one thing now about the council's trips to the United States is I believe there is a report and it's a breakdown of where the money was spent, what events were attended, and you can have a look at that. I don't know if it's out there yet, but you can have a look at that and then I suppose see was €14,000 worth it. Well done, Marie. Have a safe journey, all of you, says a listener. Marie was on beforehand. She's walking across the desert in support of Gaza. Another caller says, much as I don't like what the Israelis are doing in Gaza, I don't see the point in Irish people walking through a desert to a country named Egypt, who've done nothing to help their neighbours in Gaza. That woman is a delusional lefty. I bet she won't be carrying rosary beads with her head on her desert trek or a Bible. Well, you know, you can't have it both ways. People want... people believe people coming here should respect the Irish culture. I suppose, you know, if you go to another country, it's we generally do respect their cultures as well. What does it matter, though? We're talking about it. You know, it's like that flotilla. The amount of food that they had on that flotilla made absolutely no difference to it. And maybe their intentions were sound, but it got the international media talking about Gaza. Marie's got us talking about Gaza again. She's going to be on other radio stations, I am sure. There'll be pictures of what they're doing that will go out in social media and maybe that will resonate with people, you know. So in a way, she's already achieving what she set out to achieve. Greg, how does Greta Thunberg earn money to live? Well, she'd be supported in her work. People that believe in what she's doing would help and support her, I'm sure. Another caller says, my niece saw a man passing drugs at the top of the Port Road last week. She said it was in broad daylight as well. This is worrying if that's the case. We've already had two reports of this happening. A caller says, there are people who can barely afford to feed their children and heat their homes if they're lucky enough to have a home. So I doubt many people in Ireland will be able to relate to the inheritance tax issue. I'd love to have that problem. Another caller says, while we're at it, can we address the issue of deemed disposable? In Ireland, the primary avenues for building wealth are limited to property and pensions. It's time for a fundamental review of how PAYE workers can realistically and fairly build long-term financial security. Well, that's the struggle I have as a PAYE worker. It's accumulating any buffer. Now, we're lucky in that, you know, we can afford to live, right? But not extravagantly, and certainly can't sort of build up a resource for retirement, which retirement, if you get that far, but it's not coming, it's not too far away. So unless you can sort of buy a piece of land and build a house and sell it, or, you know, have a property, sell it and develop two other properties, there's no real way of accumulating. Well, I don't see any real way of legally accumulating any wealth. Inheritance tax should be abolished, says a listener. The state taxes us on everything during our lifetime, on our labour and on our spending. So what we have left to give our loved ones is ours and should not be subject to further taxation. No wonder the government's civil servants spend our money so foolishly when they're getting it so easily. And Tusla informed me there's no defined age for leaving kids at home, but they should not be left alone overnight. Recommended that they have access to a phone if home alone. That's for the listener. Who's in that? Tricky situation, you know, coming into the summer, kids off school, 13 and 9, responsible, well-behaved children. You know, is it okay now at this time, if you've, you know, regular contact with them, to sort of allow them at home on their own? And you can see the advantages of that, maybe not having to look for favours from family or maybe not having to pay a child carer. We were talking about the cost of living. You know, it is an interesting question, and one lots of parents, well, I think all parents actually, you come to a point, you go, right, are they okay on their own? And you're very welcome back to the programme. It is time for Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 10th of June, 2025. We're joined in studio today by Garda Claire Rafferty, attached to the Buncrana Garda Station. Claire, thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, we'll get straight into it because it's quite a busy day. And we'll start off with an incident in Kilmacrenan.
Yeah, so this incident actually happened last night in the Milford district. We're investigating that happened in the area of Gartnery, Kilmacrenan, in the early hours of this morning, the 10th of June, at approximately 12:15 a.m. As part of our investigation, we're seeking dash cam footage from the area of Gartnery and the surrounding areas between 11:30 last night, Monday the 9th of June, and 12:30 this morning. We're also interested in hearing from anyone who may have observed a red, black scrambler motorbike in the area with two males on board between those times. So anyone with relevant information is asked to contact us in Milford Garda Station on 074-915-3060.
And Milford Garda also investigating an incident that occurred towards the end of last month.
Yes, I believe you may have discussed this on the show already, but we're just making an appeal. So Garda and Milford are investigating the incident that occurred in Carrownagana, Milford, which is between Milford and Terman, and this happened in the early hours of Thursday the 29th of May, and it was at approximately 3 a.m. that night, so Wednesday night. A man has reported that he was driving at that location when three men who were wearing dark clothing emerged onto the road from a vacant farmhouse along the roadside. One of the men then demanded that he exit the car while the other two blocked his path ahead. Thankfully, the driver managed to leave the area, and now our investigation into this matter is ongoing and CCTV is being sought as part of that. So I'm appealing to anyone who may have been in that area with a dash cam between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. and to make that footage available to us. If anyone travelled in that area and observed three men on foot, or if you can assist us with any information in relation to this, we ask you to contact Milford Garda Station. Again, it's 074-915-3060, or the Garda Confidential line is there as well, which is 1-800-666-111.
All right, on to burglaries now, and burglaries in Fintan first.
Yeah, so three vacant houses in the Ballyinafina estate in Fintown, which is behind the Udras na Gaeltachta building, were broken into over the course of the weekend of Friday the 30th of May and Monday the 2nd of June. So not the weekend gone, but the weekend before. Most of the windows in the three houses were smashed and entry was gained, but nothing was stolen. So we're appealing to anyone who may have observed any suspicious activity in that area over the course of the weekend there to make contact with us. And the number there is for Ballyshannon, which is 071-985-8530.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of smashing, a lot of banging. Someone may well have seen something, and it may make sense now that you've heard from Claire in relation to that. Get information to the Gardaí there in Ballyshannon or any local Garda station, or as always to the hotline. I will tell you about that in a moment. Right, now, a burglary this time in Stranorlar.
Yeah, so Garda are appealing for the assistance of the public in connection with this burglary that occurred at a closed down factory at the Glebe Stranorlar on the Letterkenny Road between 7 p.m. on Thursday the 5th of June and 10 a.m. on Friday the 6th of June. So a front window of the building was smashed and entry was gained there. Nothing was stolen from the premises, but if you observed any suspicious activity or vehicles in the area over the course of those days, we ask you to make contact with us in Ballyshannon Garda Station on 071-985-8530.
Now, thankfully, an appeal that doesn't come up too often, and that's the theft of a horse.
Yes, so we're appealing for information in relation to the theft of a Bullinay horse from a field in Ture Muff between 5 p.m. on Saturday the 31st of May and 10 a.m. on Sunday the 1st of June. So the horse in question is male, white in colour, 3 years old, 16 hands in height, and it has an Anchor branding on its neck. So we appeal to anyone who may have observed any suspicious vehicles or activity in the area between those dates to get in touch with us. Or should anyone have any information in relation to the whereabouts of the horse at present, or should anyone come across it for sale, just bear it in mind and give us a ring, please, in Buncrana on 074 932 0540.
Yeah, because the community, you know, that would be interested in horses is big, but it's also tightly knit. It's quite distinctive, isn't it? White in colour, male, 3 years old, with anchor tattoo on its neck. So someone's going to come across it at some point or other, you'd imagine. Get in touch with Gardaí. This time, it's the theft of a trailer.
Yeah, so this is in Pettigo. We're investigating the theft of a blue twin axle trailer, which was taken from outside a house in the area of Mill Street, Pettigo, on Friday the 6th of June at approximately 8:30 p.m. So a blue transit van pulled up alongside the trailer, and a male passenger got out and attached the trailer to the van before leaving in the direction of Letterkran Road. So we appeal to anyone who may have been in either of those two areas around that time with dash cam to make the footage available to us. Gardaí and Ballyshannon may be contacted on 071 985 8530 with any relevant information, or again, the Garda confidential line on 1-800-666-111.
Yeah, in broad daylight too, so yes. Pretty distinctive information there. This is another relatively random one. I know there was a big festival up in Ballyshannon not so long ago. I'm not sure if it's linked, but gazebos stolen.
Yeah, you're right. It is linked to the festival that was there, so we're appealing for information in relation to the theft of 6 Rockshore gazebos and 19 weights from the market yard, Ballyshannon, between 3 p.m. on Monday the 2nd of June and 9 a.m. on Tuesday the 3rd of June. These items had been in use at the Rory Gallagher Festival. So we're appealing to anyone who may have relevant information about the current whereabouts of these stolen items, or any relevant information, to contact Ballyshannon. These are the type of things, you know, it would have taken effort to move them. So we're hoping somebody has seen something and will reach out to us.
Yeah, I mean, they're distinctive. They've got the Rockshaw logo on them, which is, you know, the beer logo, and metal piping and whatever it is for their structure, they'd be hard to pass on as well. So anyone with any information on that, get in touch, because there's a lot there. They're quite significant. All right, a little further north now to Quay Street in Donegal Town.
Yeah, so we're seeking the assistance of the public in connection with the criminal damage incident that happened there on Quay Street Car Park, Donegal Town, on Thursday the 5th of June, between 1 p.m. and 1:30 p.m. So a car that was parked at that location was keyed on all sides between those times, and significant damage was caused to this car as a result. So we're appealing to anyone who may have witnessed the incident to make contact with Gardaí and Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530. If anyone was in that area with dash cam between those times, we ask you to please make it available to us.
That's for people in Donegal Town, but of course lots of people travel to Donegal Town there, so maybe you saw something. I don't think any of us would like to come out and see our car having been treated like that. And car stolen too, this time in Letterkenny.
Yeah, we've had a number of issues with cars. We'll start with this one. Two of these were actually at the hospital car park. So Gardaí are investigating the theft of a blue Toyota Sienta with a partial registration of 171D62. It was stolen from Letterkenny University Hospital car park on Saturday the 7th of June between 4 a.m. when it was parked there and 8:25 a.m. when it was located crashed into a ditch at Manor View Park, Letterkenny. So we're appealing to anyone who may have observed two males between these times on foot in the area of the hospital car park to get in touch with us, or if you've seen anyone in this car either. So if anyone travelled within the area of the hospital or the area of Manor View Park with a dash cam between those times, I'll give them again, it was Saturday 7th of June between 4 a.m. and 8:25 a.m. we asked them to make the footage available to Gardaí.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's possible that these two instances are connected, because there was another significant situation in the same car park on the same night.
Yeah, and similar times as well. So this was Saturday 7th of June between 4 a.m. and 9 a.m. A car that was parked in the car park of Letterkenny University Hospital was damaged. The driver's window of the car, which was a Toyota Aqua, was smashed. It is not believed that the car was entered, so again we appeal for dash cam footage from the area of the hospital car park between those times, and to give us a ring and letter Kenny on 074 916 7100.
Okay, right, I'll have comments about that, but I'll wait till after this item. I don't want to associate the Garda Síochána with them, but more instances of car tampering and damage, this time Remelton.
Yeah, so between June the 6th and 7th, a number of cars were tampered with and damaged in the Remelton area. The first one I'll speak about was between 8 p.m. on Friday, June 6th, and 7 a.m. on Saturday morning, June 7th. A car, a Toyota Scion, was damaged in the area of the mall, Remelton. A window was smashed and the lock was interfered with. And then the second one was between 11:30 p.m. on Friday the 6th of June and 10:30 a.m. on Saturday the 7th of June. A Nissan Note was damaged at Castle Street, Remelton. Again, a window of the car was smashed, but no entry was gained to the car. And the third one here was between Friday the 6th of June at 9:30 p.m. and Saturday the 7th of June at 11 a.m. A Lexus that was parked at Castle Street, Remelton, was damaged also. It's believed that an attempt was made to pull the front bumper off this car, and this caused it to crack, and the spoiler was also removed from the rear of the car. So I'm appealing to anyone who may have relevant information or dash cam footage to get in touch with us in Milford on 074 915 3060 or the confidential line. These are the type of things that, you know, people were hanging around. Somebody may have seen people in the area.
It's kind of interesting too, because I couldn't help but notice that, you know, there was certain brands and models and what have you that were featuring here. And then on to the next item, actually, you're highlighting that actually is that maybe something for us to keep an eye on.
Yeah, so we have noticed an increase in the targeting of imported vehicles, and particularly Japanese imported vehicles, which may be due to the lack of security features in many of them. For instance, many second-hand cars are imported and they do not have a fully fitted car alarm system or are without a fitted immobiliser. This makes them vulnerable to hot wiring. If the model has a keyless ignition, it has proven possible to pick up a signal from the key fob from within the house where it is parked. So car buyers and owners can take actions to decrease the risk of the theft of their vehicle. Cars imported from international markets are not automatically manufactured with the same security features as cars manufactured for the European market. So we advise buyers and owners of vehicles to confirm the security features and especially to check if there is a built-in immobiliser and to consider adding some additional security options. So buyers should check the security features off their vehicle and make decisions relating to augmenting security. For cars without an immobiliser, the addition of a steering wheel lock or chain should be considered.
And it's kind of interesting too, you reference the fact that, you know, maybe the fob can be cloned. Without additional security features, that does make the car very attractive to sale. And unfortunately, the people behind this, they seem to know what cars they're talking about, right? So that's a problem. What then can we do after the fact to make our cars a bit more secure, do you think?
Well, I'd start by not leaving any valuables on show in the car, because that's just enticing people. They see an opportunity to get something and they want to grab it and take it. It's very important to lock doors and fully close windows. consider fitting an alarm to your car if it doesn't already have it. Retrofit an immobilizer or use a physical lock. You can install a tracker in a car now, which is becoming more regular these days. You can use physical security features such as a steering wheel lock and a catalytic converter lock. Fit theft resistant number plate fittings. Parking under streetlights is always good too, because if anyone's targeting your car, they're more likely to be seen. And park where there is CCTV when possible.
And I think really too, we also have to be the eyes and ears of for ourselves, for the Gardaí, for our friends and neighbours as well, because a lot of the activity you've talked about has actually happened really, you know, where people are. So in terms of the bumpers off the Lexus, for an example, the smashing of windows, keying of cars, the theft of a vehicle, you know, these aren't in a car park at a beach. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes
no,
we talk
they're
about
they're very
that.
Public yeah, areas. So
we need to keep our eyes peeled, I think.
Yeah, we believe people do see people hanging around. They may not necessarily know what they're doing, but if you think someone is suspicious or acting suspicious in the area, particularly in the likes of car parks or near parked vehicles at any location, please give us a call. We'll check it out. If it's nothing, that's fine, but it'd be better if we were contacted. Yeah.
All right, okay. We talked about increases in situations, you know, obviously drier conditions or not, certainly longer days can lead to more sort of in-person calls, bogus calls, and just a warning in relation to that, Claire.
Yeah, so we're aware that bogus callers have been calling to houses in parts of Donegal recently, and that some people have fallen victim to scams by them. So in light of this, we want to reissue advice to those with family members who may be susceptible to having bogus callers and rogue traders call to their homes. So we urge everyone to speak to your elderly family members or neighbours or friends or anyone that you would be concerned with that may get caught out by this. So first of all, we'll say beware of the tarmac scam. This one's gone on a while. So a man or men typically go to door-to-door claiming to be builders or workers on a contract who have some leftover tarmac and offering to conduct work on a driveway or surroundings of a building at a low cost. The material then used is often gravel chippings covered with engine oil or the likes of that, or not the right depth and type of materials to form a lasting road surface. These con men may target elderly vulnerable residents or businesses and claim to be official contractors working on roadworks to add credibility. They often increase the cost during the course of the work, claiming that the job has required more material than expected, and they may then start issuing threats. They use a variety of work vehicles, which often make people think that they are legitimate. They could have company names, logos on them, but don't take that for granted.
No, and I think just to what you're saying about the chips with the engine oil on, the point there being is if they land up with a trailer or what have you, that's going to look like wet tar.
Absolutely.
And you're going to go, all right, okay, well, you don't want that going to waste. And it's chips with engine oil on. It's of no benefit to you whatsoever. So, you know, obviously you're saying, you know, be vigilant, keep an eye out for this. But don't be afraid to call the Gardaí at any stage in this process.
Yeah, as I said earlier, you know, if you have any concerns at all, just ring us. If it turns out to be all right, that's not a problem. Don't ever be afraid to call us. That's the message we're trying to get across all the time. Give us a call. Let us come and check it out. If you're not sure, we can do more if we're called and get there.
And it's not just about the tarmac scam either, is it?
No, bogus callers offer other services as well, like power washing, gutter cleaning, painting, or they may be selling goods such as tools, generators, etc. So we're aware that bogus callers have called to houses purporting to be there on behalf of local businesses to that area. They do their homework to try and gain your trust, so and to add legitimacy to their story. They may use names of local businesses even the owners of the businesses and staff in conversation with the homeowners.
So. And I think, too, people often wonder, well, you know, how do people fall for this? Well, firstly, they target people who may be vulnerable to it, and they can be really quite aggressive. And it can be really hard not to go along with what they're doing. This is a profession. They're professionals, you know, so they know what to do and who to target, you know.
That's it. They know what they're doing. And you mentioned they get aggressive. However, that's not how they approach you at the start. That's saved for later. They gain your trust and the likes of the tarmac. You know, it looks legitimate. You think you're getting what you're asked for.
Mm.
But our main advice would be, please don't engage with such callers. Don't open your door to anyone before you're confident that you know that they're known to you or that they have a genuine reason to be there. It would be good to use a chain lock for added security as well. Bogus callers can be intimidating and often refuse to take no for an answer. Contact Gardaí immediately should you encounter such a caller and try to give as much information as possible. A description of the person is great. Registration numbers of cars is very helpful. And even if you watch and see what direction they travel in, it's all very helpful information. But do not agree to have any type of work carried out by anybody who calls to your home.
And keep an eye out on your neighbours, folks. We do have to keep watching each other. Gotta Claire Rafferty, thank you very much indeed. We really do appreciate you calling down, and take care of yourself. That was Community Guard information for this Tuesday, the 10th of June. And you can listen back to it on our podcast from 12:30, or you can watch it too on our socials and on Gardaí Síochána socials a little later on this afternoon. And it's back live for you after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. So as you've been hearing, rent pressure zones are to be extended to cover the entire country. Sweeping new changes will be brought to Cabinet for approval today, after being signed off by the coalition party leaders and senior ministers last night. Large landlords will now be redefined to cover anyone with four or more rental properties. Landlords will also reportedly only be able to reset rents if a tenant voluntarily leaves their home. Now, we are joined on the programme by Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson, Eoin O'Brien. Good morning, Eoin. Thanks so much for your time.
Greg, thanks for having me. And just before we talk about this important matter, would you mind if I gave a shout out to my sister, Sinead Nivrin? She lives up in Buncrana, works for ATU in Letterkenny, and just got her first class honours master's degree late yesterday.
So, well, congratulations. I didn't realise you were brother and sister.
I suspect she's listening to the show and is now absolutely scarlet.
And, you know, rightly so. That's what brothers are for, to make our sisters scarlet when we get the opportunity. Anyway, congratulations. That's a great achievement. Right, so, I mean, on the face of it, the government are doing something. Will it do anything, in your view, to ease the problems that we have in renting properties?
Well, first of all, renters in County Donegal have been particularly badly impacted by the government's failure to act over the last 5 years. Average new rents in Donegal have gone up a staggering 87% since 2020. That's almost an extra €7,000 a year for a new renter now than when Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael formally entered the coalition. So obviously the extension of rent pressure zones to, for example, Donegal will give some relief to some renters. My fear is the government is giving with the one hand and taking away with the other, because at the same time, those same landlords will now be allowed to reset rents in existing rental properties for new tenants to new market rates. And I think that's going to continue to push rents up even further. I'm also concerned that while they seem to have rolled back a little bit on the grounds upon which an existing landlord can reset rents between tenancies, it's going to be open to widespread abuse by unscrupulous landlords, and we know that they exist. It's going to be very, very difficult to enforce. And the overwhelming majority of renters in Donegal are in rental properties that's owned by a landlord who owns less than three properties. So people in Donegal will get none of the additional protections that some renters elsewhere in the country will get. So I think Donegal is being very badly served again, both on the rent inflation side and the protection and security of tenure side. I'm happy to comment more generally, but I think Donegal's been left behind again.
No, that's fine. Listen, that's our target audience. I couldn't find what distinguishes between a small and larger landlord. I mean, obviously, we know the numbers, three or less, four or more. So what are the different rules that might apply between them? I know that's probably the role of the government housing minister, but I'll get your comments on it if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. So first of all, I mean, this entire process is totally chaotic. Over the last 2 weeks, different briefings have been given out and the story has been changing by the day. And I think given the very, very strong public backlash, opposition backlash, but also backlash from renters and homeless charities yesterday, I think the government even made some last minute changes last night. We won't know the full detail until James Brown addresses the media, which I understand is happening at 12 today. And I suspect not until we actually see the legislation will we know the full detail. But what we understand is as follows. Government is going to apply rent pressure zones as they currently exist across the state. Government is going to allow landlords of existing rental stock to reset rent at full market rent between tenancies. For new rental stock built after a certain date, the rent pressure zones will not apply. Inflation will, which means, of course, rents will increase even more dramatically. And then there will be additional security of tenure provisions. We don't know the full detail, but we understand that they will only apply to tenants if their landlords owns four or more properties. But it's still not clear whether that will apply to landlords of existing properties or new. The really important point to make here, however, is this. It seems to be that the government's solution to rising rents is to allow rents to rise even more dramatically. And by disapplying rent pressure zones to new rental stock and allowing landlords to reset rents, to reset rents between tenancies is going to push up rents even further at a time when rents are far too high.
Is it possible, though? We do need more housing stock. We do need more apartments and stuff, right? So we do need it to be profitable for people to come up and come in and build those, or not come in, to just actually build them. We also do need our smaller landlords. You know, we're speaking to a landlord a little earlier on, charging $650 a month. The market rate's $1,100 to $1,500, depending when you are in the county. Will they be entitled? They feel they should be entitled to rise the rent if their tenant leaves, so they can make more money from that. And also, to you know, there's a bit of certainty then in the rental market. So does this not really, is this not beneficial to everyone, arguably, except those who want to move out of the parents' house, you know, and are going to be entering a market with, you know, really quite high fixed charges in there?
Well, let's look at each of those bits in turn, because they're different issues. First of all, large institutional investors, big pension funds, they're not going to be investing in Donegal or Sligo or Roscommon or Longford or Leitrim. So the people who are listening to this show will get no benefit from that. Mm. What will happen is...
But what I will say in relation to that, though, is we do have our kids down in Galway paying £555 for one room in a house.
And that's exactly the point I was going to make. So in the cities, what the implications of the government's proposition is that renters here, or young students from families in the Northwest, will be paying even higher rent. So currently, for example, a new rental in Dublin, but for example, in Limerick City and elsewhere, is now €2,500 to €3,000 a month. So actually the children of the families in Donegal who are in colleges in our cities will be ripped off even more. And with respect to the single property landlords, I have to say, I'd say a lot of single property landlords are deeply unhappy with this, because they see yet again the big institutional investors being able to charge whatever the hell they like. And keep in mind, those institutional investors currently pay no tax on the rent roll and no capital gains if they're structured in the right way. And single property landlords being treated in a different manner. But what I will also say to you, Greg, is this. The solution to the housing crisis across the state, and particularly in the Northwest, is not ever increasing rents for institutional investment private rental sector properties. One, it's a dramatic increase in social, affordable purchase and affordable rental accommodation, but also it's working with small and medium-sized builder developers who are going to be able to build more good quality homes at more moderated prices for working people in Donegal to afford it. I talk to a lot of those builders. I've met a number of SME builder developers who are either A, trying to get stuff on the private sector side going in Donegal, or B, finding it incredibly difficult to get stuff going on the social affordable side. And they're telling me government is doing nothing for them. So if all the conversation is about facilitating, if not bending over backwards to facilitate international investment funds, to charge ever greater rents in our cities. The people of rural Ireland, the people of our smaller towns and cities, they will be left behind again. The solution is not ever rising rents. We need to stop that. The solution is more social homes, more affordable homes, particularly affordable homes for working people to rent and buy prices they can
afford.
But
do rent pressure zones not to some extent, even in Donegal, suppress rents, you know, in line with inflation? That, in other words, you know, there is some level of ceiling or control.
So the evidence from the ESRI answers that question for us. So in the existing rent pressure zones, some renters do have their rents protected, and that means their rents are more affordable. But we also know there's wide-scale abuse of and breaches of the rent pressure zone. So if you take, for example, the Residential Tenancies Board data for last year, existing renters, 80% of whom are in rent pressure zones, saw their rents increase on average by almost 5%, 3 percentage points above the cap. So yes, some renters benefit. But actually what we've been calling for some time, because rents are so high and nobody should be paying 12 to 15,000 euros for a rental unit in Donegal, that's an astronomical rent which should not be normalised or accepted. We actually need a ban on rent increases for all new and existing renters. We need to put a full month's rent back into every one of those private renters' pockets through fundable tax credit. And then government needs to focus on the real solutions, increasing and accelerating delivery of social, affordable and private for purchase homes. Ripping off renters and punishing renters for government failure to deliver the homes that people need is not a solution to the housing crisis.
All right, listen, thanks so much for your time, Deputy. I do appreciate it. That's Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson, Deputy Owen O'Brien there. 086 60 25,000 is the answer there. Oh, sorry, it's the number there. Greg, since that man had luck with his wallet, can I mention mine? I lost my wallet on Saturday in the old Lidl in Letterkenny in the afternoon. It contains a lot of sentimental things, credit cards, gift voucher cards, plus my driver's license. So maybe you found a wallet on Saturday in the old Lidl in Letterkenny. Someone really wants it back. It's the sentimental stuff, and the license is a nightmare. Nowadays, you can block cars, straight away on your app if you need to, and you might lose some cash. Not that we have it spare to lose, but it's other stuff that's hard to replace. So maybe you come across that wallet. Let's put it back in contact with that owner. We have the number. Really interesting guests, in fact, coming up for you in the third hour of the show. So stay tuned for that if you want to. We'd appreciate it. Congratulations to our local lad, Mark English, on breaking the 800 metres Irish record, clocking a time of... the time is convoluted here on this page. Smashed the record in Holland last evening. Indeed, he won that race as featured on our sport this morning. Mark English is going from strength to strength relatively late in his athletics career. He's a young lad, but you know what I mean. And also to a very busy person. So it's remarkable the level of commitment that must be required from Mark English to be bettering himself at a quite regular basis now, it must be said. Right, so caller says, why do we need more new housing? There was a surplus amount of houses not so long ago, much of which were bought up by vulture funds, including ghost estates. How come we've so many homeless on our streets? There was over 300k properties vacant around the country. Well, there's still a relatively high level of vacancy. It's connecting those people with those houses. I will say once again, homelessness, the 10, 12,000 people that are homeless, it's not just about providing many of them with a house. There are other supports that might need to be put in place for them. That's where we sort of really need to get a grip of things.